Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Mississippi is breaking new ground for business at a historic pace. Amazon, XAI, Toyota, Milwaukee Tool, and GE Aerospace have all tapped into our deep talent pool, prime geographic location, and welcoming communities. This is bigger than mega sites. Mississippi offers a thriving business ecosystem with affordability, greater collaboration with energy partners, and record-breaking speed to market. Looking to expand? Break new ground at mississippi.org.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Fungela. On this episode, our guest is an Oscar, Grammy, and Golden Globe recipient, platinum-selling artist, the voice of Dolores Madrigal in Encanto. Adasa is with us today. When I tell you I was not prepared to hear the story she was about to share with us that you're about to hear right now, my mind is blown. Oh my God, thank God I didn't sing that in front of her. You know how we always break out into song?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then she also did, but hers sounded really good. And
really,
I was
really
like,
good.
Oh, mine doesn't sound like that when I do it.
You're like, right, she's won awards. Copy
right,
that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Copy that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, Adasa is with us on this episode. Incredible story. Before you listen to it, take a second. Go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, okay? Go make sure you're following us on Instagram. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel and leave us a review, leave us a comment. And if you have not yet called us to tell us what you are grateful for, what you're mad about, or if you need advice on something, call us, leave a voicemail message. If you're embarrassed about your voice and you don't want your voice being heard, then you can email us or you can text us and I'll give them all the information.
Yes, so give us a call or a text at 747-300-5380. You can email us at fungelapodcast@gmail.com. And then, of course, on Angela's website, angela.com, there is a form you can fill out as well.
And I will say this. Look at us in the studio, you guys. Danielle is here in Nashville. I know we did with Mitchell already, but I still, like, because you're right here and you're not on Zoom.
Then correct.
Oh my God, this is our new way of doing it. Oh, and I don't have headphones on.
Right, because I have them.
Yeah. It's a whole new thing. Another thing I'm glad I didn't do in front of her. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Enjoy this episode of Fungela with Adasa.
Oh, the book's backwards.
Adasa.
We just want to have fun. Yeah. We just want to have fun. Come on. Let go, let go.
I am so glad you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad it worked out. I know you were traveling. You had a family reunion wedding.
Oh my goodness, you're special. Oh my goodness, ugly baby. I had to try it. I did. I was like, oh yeah, mijo, can you please bring me a drink?
You hate that it worked?
Oh no, I know.
You hate that it worked.
But it was also nice because I didn't have to go to the kitchen, so I appreciated that part.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad you're here. How long have you been living in Nashville?
Off and on, we've been here for 12 years.
Wow.
So yeah, we had a base here. Actually, I bought our first house sight unseen because I was watching a lot of the Nashville show and I was like, I want to live there.
Bought one?
We did. We called somebody up and we're like, look, we need this many square feet and this many rooms. And they're like, we found you something. We're like, take pictures. Yeah, we like it. And we did it.
And how did that work? Did you love it? Or were you like, what did we do? Oh, no.
Well, a little bit of both. Because we're like, oh, it's next to a busy street. Okay. But then like we made it work. And then after that, we sold that house. We went on more adventures. And then we bought the next house we're in over here in Tennessee, which we love.
Did you go back to Florida after that house?
After that house, we actually went to Utah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so my husband works for Warner Chapel and they had a division there and they're like, hey, why don't you come in and like work directly with us and stuff? And we moved there. I learned how to make metadatas for film and TV and I didn't even know what that was. Like,
I don't know what that is. What is that?
All the data that you put for a song. So any film and TV company that is looking for music for either TV shows or any of that, they're like, oh, this is uplifting, pop, rock, blah, blah, blah. That's the kind of thing. So,
and like back in, so like if you do, what's it called where you say, listen to this?
Oh, yeah. That's the data that we put in there.
What is it called?
It's like, hey Siri, listen to this song. What's this song?
But what's the Shazam?
Shazam.
I kept saying Spotify in my head.
I also kept saying Spotify, and I was like, no, that's not it.
No, Shazam.
Yeah.
Okay, so like all the data that it's collecting.
Yep.
You put that data in there.
I gotta put that data in there. Dang. How long? What key is it in? What's the length of the song? If it's upbeat, if it's hip hop, if it's dance, if it's reggaeton, whatever it is.
How long did you do that?
I'm still doing it.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
You are
so like Gabriel is like my backup whenever I do my business. Like he's my manager. Uh-huh. And then for him, I do all the paperwork.
I love it.
I know.
I know
like it so much, but like it's on me. So I gotta do a good job.
I mean, you have a lot of children, mouths to feed.
Yes, lots of kids. Seven kids.
Seven kids.
Seven. Five still at home. Two already flew the nest.
Did you birth them all?
Six out of the seven.
Oh, my gosh.
And no doubles either. Like, I didn't even get, like, one double. No, they were all singles.
Wow.
Yeah. I will say one attitude was that they would always be called peanuts. Like, oh, look at this peanut. I'm like, it's not
by
a
who?
Peanut. All the nurses and the doctors, because my baby's always been small. And then they grow into themselves, you know, like they come up with the big old eyes.
But then, and they're brown, so.
You would think, but most of them came out white, except one of them.
Oh, really?
She had a purple butt. And I was like, what's wrong
with
my baby's
color
butt?
You got?
I was like, what's going on there? They're like, no, she's going to brown out. And that's why her butt's purple. So she had like a heart butt in a forever.
Oh, so all the melanin was in one place
in
and it had to disperse.
It looked like a heart on her butt, but it was
how
purple.
Cute.
So, yeah, it's like shake it and maybe it'll spread. And it did. She doesn't have a purple butt no more.
Okay, so, yes, we're going to get into mattitude and gratitude. Okay, I want to know your mattitude, what makes you mad, what gets on your skin. And we're going to get into some gratitudes from your life. Really quickly, tell me, give me like a brief run through, like when did you start singing? I imagine because you have such a beautiful voice, you've been singing since you were like two. But when did it like become you're doing this for your profession and you're all of a sudden en canto?
Oh, man. So I started at 4 years old singing with my mom at church. Mm-hmm. And I barely like knew how to read. And I just knew that this is what I wanted to do. My mom would play the guitar. My dad would preach. And I knew it like. When I stepped on that stage, I want to influence people to feel something good and something positive.
Special.
And then when I saw The Little Mermaid, that's when I knew I wanted to do something with Disney. Because I was like, I want to be part of that world. Yes. What would I give? Yeah, I would sing in front of the TV all the time. But I wanted to do it like in a tangible sense because I come from a very humble family. Like we don't have money. My parents had dreams and they had effort. That's one thing that they taught me. It's like whatever's not given to you, which has never been given to us, you got to fight for it. You want it. You go out there and get it. Mm. And so I thought, I want to be an extra at Disney. So, like, that was my focus. Like, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to go to Stetson
University. I'm
going to
go to school so I can be an extra.
Like, and then go to Stetson and then get in there at Disney. Like, I wanted to be an extra. So I always would practice, like, hello, welcome to Disney. The parade starts at 3:00. Make sure to grab a seat. Like, that was me.
Mago.
I was all in. I was all in. I was me. I was focused. And then when Pocahontas came out.
Remain seated, please.
Déjenos
sentados, por favor.
Exactamente. Que tengan un día magical. I mean, I was all in. And then I met who is now my husband. I got signed to my very first record deal at 17.
Through him?
Actually, it was my brother.
Okay.
Who they were working together. My brother was an artist and he was like a hip hop and a rapper in his day. And my husband, he's a producer. Uh-huh. And they had gotten together to put together a girl group.
Okay.
And the first thing that my husband said. No, I know that's, I didn't even know this was going on, like at all. I didn't even know what was happening. But behind the scenes, my brother was like, hey, I got a sister. She could sing. And my husband, I didn't know he had said this back then. No family. I do not want to hear it. I don't want family because there's issues that happen.
I mean, I get it.
You know, it gets a little dicey sometimes. So he was like, no. And then one day, my brother tells me, hey, I want you to just record over this beat, just whatever you come up with, write a song. And I had never written a song. I wrote poetry. Like, I had gotten published when I was like 13. Like,
whoa.
I was like, yeah, that's the thing I did. I wrote my feelings. And so I did. I wrote this song called Dedícame Tiempo. Dedícame, dedícame tiempo. And it was like this like rappy thing.
Uh-huh.
And I gave it to him. And he sends it over to my husband, Gabriel. And then he's like, I like this person. So they sit down, they listen to the whole demo together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not going to tell you who it is. He's like, it's your sister in it. He's like, no, just listen to the girl. Listen to the girl. And so he listened through it, and he's like, yeah, that's the voice that's missing, because I was like the alto of the four. And then he's like, yeah, it's my sister. So then that's how I got into the girl group. I know, I did. And then I walked in with my outfit from 579.
Yep.
I did. I was all cute. Yep. Well, I thought I looked cute. Now I look back and I'm like, I look like a businesswoman. I had like a blue two-piece, like a jacket. I'm like, what was I thinking?
This is a girl group. I am professional.
I want to be taken seriously at 16, you know? And so at 17, I get signed to that deal. And then I ended up going solo afterwards, getting signed to Universal Latino. And then I worked with Daddy Yankee, Enrique Iglesias, Don Omar. I went on tour with Pitbull. He had a song together. With Luis Fonsi, I got to work with him.
Wow.
With Ciara, Missy Elliott on 1-2 Step, I got on their remix. So yeah, 10 years in the business. And then I told my husband, we should have more kids. We had only... us, we have one, and then obviously I'm the Latin mama to his first kid.
Yeah.
And that's when he was like, no, because we were touring. Uh-huh. You know, when you're on tour, like that's how, that's where the bacon comes from.
Sure, sure. And it's fast paced and you're moving and next.
Exactly. And then I said, no, let's slow down. And that's when we went from 2 to 7 over the course of the, if you're doing something, you gotta go all in. That's what I'm saying. Do it right.
I already had the breast pump. We might as well keep it going. Okay. Oh my gosh. Did the girl group ever take off and tour, or were you, did it like tell me about the girl group?
Well, the girl group, we even did the photography and everything. So they just like cut me off the edge.
Oh.
So you know how that was? They cut me off the edge when I left the group. But they kept on going. They had like a small tour.
Okay.
When I got with Universal though, being signed as the first Afro Latina after Celia Cruz to be in a major record label deal. In reggaeton, being a female, it was really hard because I'm a Colombian. So even though I was born in Florida, tengo sangre colombiana. And so for them, it was like, if you're not Puerto Rican, like you can't do reggaeton. And I'm like, why can't we? Like now it's all cool. Like everybody does it. But when I started, girl, I had to bring my own rake. I was like making holes, trying to dig those trenches. It was not easy.
I mean, yeah, I can imagine in that world. And it's competitive. And I can't believe Celia Cruz was the last one before me.
Before me. And then I was so grateful because Universal, they were so supportive. When I was like, I want to do this and I want to do it in English and I want to do it in Spanish and I want to rap and I want to, you know, and all these things. And I want to mix reggaeton, but then I also want to do some stuff with R&B. And like, they were like, okay. And they were behind me.
Oh, wow.
And they supported me through all that journey. And then when we took a step back so we can have our kids, that's when I decided I just want to focus on like personal growth and becoming a hands-on mama this time around. So I was like homeschooling, trying to bake bread, doorstops, or might they say. My husband, he's like, everything with honey tastes good, baby. It's delicious. No matter how hard the bread is. And so during that time,
he dipped his bread in water, just soften it up a little bit.
That was like my kids. Well, just toast it, mommy. It's good. And during that time, I was like really getting into like scripture reading, like having a personal relationship with God. And one day my husband looks at me, he's like, God's going to call you for something. And I'm like, no, I'm just like really into my scripture reading. Like, I want to be a good mom and like have the family that like he would love me to have. And during that time, we had just had our last baby. And he was like, let's go to Miami and have some fun. And we bring our gear because we're musicians and why not? Like everywhere we go, you're like, you never know. You get inspired. You write something. You record it. We got a camera. And so a morning we wake up. He's like, hey, let's record the video for that song we made. And we did. We put it on YouTube. It's got like 300 views. Like we didn't even promote it. Nada. La tiramos ahí because whatever. One shot, because I was like, I want tacos. We came to the beach.
Press record. Go.
Hello. I'm like, one shot. That's what you get. And then I want my tacos. You promise. We came to Miami. You want my tacos. And so we recorded. We put it up there. A few weeks later, I'm upgrading my phone because I dropped it while we were in Miami. And at the top of my list of like passwords that I had to redo is YouTube, obviously. I hadn't redone my password. I did it. Then there was an email at the top of all of those, like hundreds of emails saying, we'd like to get a hold of Adasa for an opportunity. And I was like, I don't know what opportunity, but okay. Hello, this is Naomi, Adasa's assistant.
Get out of town with that voice.
I said, I like wrote as my own assistant. You can reach Gabriel Candiani at this email and phone number.
Yes.
Thank you for your interest.
Queen.
And so next thing I know, I'm washing dishes. My husband's like, baby, get down to the studio because we have it in our house. It's Disney. And I was like,
I got the chills right now because you said you wanted to do it and it gave me the chills.
Since I was nine, girl. That was my dream. And so I didn't know what it was. It was an undisclosed role. We had 24 hours to turn over. Mm-mm. And there was a phone number that said, in case of emergencies only, dial this number. Mm-hmm. We sent in the demo after I put the kids to bed because I was like cooking. Yes, yes, prayers and everything. Prayer and your story and your dance and boom, go to sleep. We go to studio, record, send it. 10 hours go by, 15 hours. Because we had 24 hours. And like 20 hour mark, Gabriel's like, we need to call the number. And I'm like, look, if you don't hear back, it's because you don't got it. Okay. Uh-huh. And it's okay. We need to accept defeat. Like, that was my position. He's like, no, I'm going to call. And I was like, no, don't do it. You know, and
real quick, what you had to record, did they tell you, here's a song, here's lyrics, do this? Or they were just like,
send us, they gave me some words to say. And then they're like, send us some song, a song that you're singing. And so I picked All By Myself by Celine Dion. Okay. In English and in Spanish.
She said, like, I'm going to go big.
I am. I'm going big.
Listen.
You got to know where my range is. And then I sent in the script that they sent me in my way. And so when we didn't hear back, he called in. And I was standing by the phone like I was just dying. And they were like, hello. And this was Grace Kim, which is the assistant for Jamie Sparrow Roberts, which is the casting director for Frozen, Wreck-It Ralph, Tangled, like Moana, all the major ones.
Uh-huh.
And she picks up and she's like, hi. And this Gabriel introduces himself. Hi, I'm Gabriel, Adessa's manager. We're just confirming if you received the demo. And she's like, what demo? My heart. And he was like, maybe it went to your spam folder or maybe it just got lost. She's like, please hold. And she just goes off. And we're just hearing the music, you know, the it's a small world after all.
Oh my God.
We're waiting. And then she comes on. Oh, yeah, we found it. And
ma'am,
Gabriel starts laughing. She starts laughing. And they're like, oh, because you guys aren't whitelisted officially, why don't you just call us the next time we need to send anything and we'll just keep it like that. And so.
Well, it said for emergencies. We're trying to follow the rules.
For emergencies. I'm so grateful to my husband because he's the kind of guy that is like, no, there's no door. I was
right there with you. I was like, no, we didn't hear back. They didn't like me.
Exactly. That's it. I'm going to cry. Let's go. Let's go right now. Cheesecake Factory. Let's do it. I know. I want big cake. Just give me the whole thing. Don't give me no slice. I need the whole thing. And so they're like, well, we'll let you know. And you know how it is. At least they got it. I forget about it. I go about my business. Week go by. 2 weeks go by. My husband's in the middle of teaching a student how to make music because he has like a production music masterclass. He teaches people how to do music for film and TV. And then he's on his live and we see the ping, Disney, and it call back. I was like, and we're like, oh, we have to let you go.
That's the end of this class. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much. Remember, save it. Logic. And I start screaming and she's screaming like, I don't know what's going on. The student. And we're just like screaming. I'm like, I can't tell you, but it's good. And I got to go. So we get the call back. And so I immediately start thinking, I'm like, what am I going to do in this call back? Like, what are they going to ask me for? Mm-hmm. And my husband and I, we just sit and I'm like, and he starts thinking, you know, maybe we should just talk about family.
Just kidding.
No.
Wait, what did you say?
I said Bruno.
Bruno. I know, right? You say she had to take it.
You goof. Go.
And so I started thinking, you know, my parents fought so hard for us to have a life here in the United States. He lost his father when he was 9 years old. Mm. So my dad was selling arepas, bollos, pan de bonos door to door. And like he would tell me this story. Now that I came and I was there in Colombia for 10 months with my kids, living the life. Man, it's like I understood who my father was. Mm. And like the man who would sell the papayas and aguacates, I would hear him, aguacate, every morning. Like, aguacate. And I'm like, that was my dad. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the man. And so I told my husband, I'm like, I want to talk about my family. And so I started thinking, what am I going to do? I just got a whole bunch of family pictures. And I just wanted to tell him about my dad and what he went through to give us the life. My mom, she wanted to be a singer. To tell him, like, this is not me that wants to be a singer. This was three generations of wanting to be a singer. My grandma wanted to be a singer.
Wow. But, you know,
she came from very humble means. teens. My mom wanted to be a singer. She got as far as having one song on the radio in Barranquilla.
Okay, let's go, mom.
Yeah, she was playing her little band called Mar Azul. And then for me, it wasn't like an expectation because my family all went into the medical field. So they wanted me to be a nurse. Mm. It's like, that's tangible goals. That's like, you can make a living, you know, provide. And I was like, no, I want music. Like, I knew music was like running through my veins. So when they got on the, we got on the Zoom call, Gabriel was with me, like right on the side. And the first thing I was like, hi, I want to tell you about my family. Oh. And that was it. Like, I just went off. This is my grandfather. And he didn't know how to read or write. But like, he built churches in Colombia. And this is my dad. And he lost his father. And this is my grandma. And I'm just going off on my family. And then I finished with all my like presentation with my pictures. And then they're like, great. So are you going to sing for us? Like, oh, yeah. That's what this is. I'm like, yeah, sure. And Byron Howard and Jared Bush were the ones that were there for my callback. And it was an incredible experience.
What did they have you sing?
I sang Hamilton.
Okay.
Satisfied. So I just went into the rap. So this is what it feels like to match with someone at your level. What the hell is the catch? It's the feeling of freedom, a feeling of light. I just went off.
Yeah.
That's what I did. And then I went into a song and they were like, great. And then they asked me to say some lines. That's when I understood that the character's name was going to be Dolores in the callback. Like, I didn't know up to that part. I thought I was going to be like a butterfly or something. I was like, oh, whatever. I will be the cutest little butterfly you've ever seen.
Oh, my God. So good.
I just was going to do anything. I just wanted to be a part of it. And so after that, I was like, okay, I did it. Like, I did it. I had this callback. It was great. But here comes the but.
Oh, no.
My family and I, all my family and I had had COVID. And that was a few months before the audition. We lost our sense of taste and smell.
Oh, shoot.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And I thought we were behind that. But for a few weeks, I had been feeling sick. I thought I was pregnant again.
Oh.
And so, like, at that point, we had a Cadillac Escalade. And my husband's like, man, we just got the Escalade. We're going to have to upgrade to the Amazon truck. Because they don't fit nowhere else. Like, we're out. Like, there's 7-seater. We are out of seats. And so, I told my husband, the day after the audition, I said, you know what? There's things happening. Let me go to the hospital, get a blood test, because all my pregnancy tests had come out. And I know this is TMI, people.
No, I love it.
Sorry.
All the details.
But with my second child, I had gone through the whole same ordeal where all of my pregnancy tests came out negative. Got a blood test, positive, on April Fool's Day.
Oh,
they're
wow.
like, hello, congratulations, you are pregnant. I'm like, April Fool's, don't kid me. They're like, no, you are. So then I told my husband, what if we're in the same scenario? They're negative. And then, so he's like, well, I'll come with you to the hospital. I'm like, I get en la casa. You know, we're the kids. I'll be back in like 2 hours. I drive to the hospital. When I get there, because I had like nausea and dizziness, I thought maybe it was excitement, you know, because it was just getting progressively worse. But I'm like, maybe estoy muy activa, like from having the audition and preparing for this big moment. The dizziness is part of it. Or maybe if I am pregnant, because I hadn't gotten my period. So I was like, let's just get it. Within 30 minutes of arriving, they gave me something for the dizziness. And then little by little, I couldn't feel my legs.
Oh.
Then it was my arms.
Girl.
And then I started slurring my words.
No.
I'm talking about the day after the audition of a lifetime. And then I'm like, I couldn't say anything. I literally fell on a nurse. And that's when they were like, you need to lay down. And then I just, before my hands went completely gone, I like, auto dial my husband with like my finger, and then he comes on the line, and I'm like,
this is bleh. No,
and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, and he knew I was in the hospital, so he leaves. He immediately comes to the hospital, which is like 10 minutes from my house.
Oh my God.
They don't let him in because it's still COVID restrictions.
Oh no.
And so they start running tests and tests and tests, and I can't move. I'm like paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh,
at that point, that's
God.
It I'm like, I can barely like breathe and swallow. And they would ask me things. So I was like, like, that was it. So they're running tests, blood work, MRI, CT scans. Hours go by.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, we don't know what's going on.
Oh, my God.
And then I thought, I think I'm dying. So I was like, out. I was like, out. I want to go out. All I could say was like, out, home, out. And so the doctors came and talked to me, and they're like, we do not recommend that you sign yourself out. And if you do, you have to take full responsibility over your life because we don't understand what is happening to your body. And so I literally marked an X. Like, that's all I could do, just mark an X. My husband, like, literally helped me with my arm. And I had driven myself there. We left the car. A, my husband had to wheel me out in a wheelchair. And I went home and I thought I was just waiting to die.
Oh my God. First of all, I don't know that I would do that. That I'm going to go home and die. I'd be like, nah, figure me out. Go do another test. Get another doctor from somewhere else. Like, she said, nah, just I'd go home. Forget it.
It's because they couldn't come in. I would not have access to my family. And because I was like I could barely breathe. I'm like, if I die and I don't have the chance to see my kids one more time, right. Just like hold them.
Right.
I was like, I can't live with myself. I can't live with like, that's I would rather die wild. With my in my husband's arms. Like, that's what I want to do.
Dang.
And so when we got home within a few hours, I was able to speak a little. And we were like, okay, maybe it's going away. And then I was able to walk a little. And so I tried to walk and talk. And I hit the floor. And we were like, okay, what's going on?
Okay, first of all, when you came home and all your kids there, how...
They started crying.
Well, yeah, because what is your husband like just holding you and you're like, everybody say goodbye?
Literally, like a baby. He just brought me into the house and placed me on the bed. And they was like, what's wrong with mom? I had a two-year-old. My baby, I was two during that time. God. So my baby was... I was still breastfeeding. And so she was like trying to feed on me. I couldn't even move my arms. And Papi was like, no, let me get a bottle. And like my husband was like, mamita, let me fix you. Oh. And then I couldn't even talk. It's like I was just like in whispers. Like, hi, baby. I don't know what's wrong. I just, mommy's okay. Like I couldn't do more than a whisper or I would just literally faint.
Gosh.
So as the day went through, the first day, I started regaining the ability to talk a little and write. And so I told my husband, I want to write my will. And so I wrote my will out and then I had him call some people from church to sign like as witnesses to my wishes, which by the way, you never think something like this is going to happen. It's like, it's not like you're prepared for death. I recommend anybody to do your will before you met with something like this because you never know. And so I just did my will. They signed. I said, me, yes, will. Like I would just sign them like I want. Because the few words I could say is like, I want. Sign me, want, please.
Oh my God.
And that night I went to my bed and I was just crying. And then all of a sudden, like a miracle angel, a friend of ours from church, his name is Terry Rice. I literally put his name in the book because that's how important of an angel he was to us. He just dropped by, didn't know what was going on. And he looks at me and he's like, I just came to visit your family. I know I had a prompting to come and visit.
Oh.
And he looked at me, he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, oh. He's like, you know, I'm an EMT. You may be having a stroke. He's like, I want to take you to Vanderbilt. Let's go to Vanderbilt. Let's get a second opinion. And I was like, I was ready for death. I was literally in my bed. I was ready to die. Like, and then he hauls me into his car. We drive to Vanderbilt. We spend another 14 hours at Vanderbilt. Again, him and my husband outside. There was no cupo inside. They wouldn't let anybody else in. There was so many people that had sicknesses, issues. We had chairs and we were lined up and down the hallways with a paper and a number because there were no rooms. So those were technically our room numbers so that they knew how to keep everybody's paperwork, you know, in check.
Whoa.
And it was just test after test, more MRIs, CT scans, and more blood work, more things. And they would just wheel me in and out. And I was just sitting there with a whole bunch of people that were looking like death too. And I'm like, oh my goodness, ¿qué voy a hacer? I was praying. And then at the end, a neurologist came and said, I'm so sorry, but there are so many unknowns with COVID. We don't know if or when your symptoms may pass. You're having effects of long haul COVID. And then they said, what you're having seems very similar to Guillain-Barré syndrome, but we'll have to run a spinal tap to confirm. And I was born preemie. So I don't have two of the bones in my back where the needle would go. If they did it, I would be paralyzed, like for real.
Oh my God.
Permanently, if they by any means did something they should not.
Stop.
So then I couldn't even risk it. Like all my babies, I haven't had any epidurals or anything. It's like, let's go. We're going to breathe it out. We're going to breathe it out. Yeah. Wow. So after that, I was like, okay, I want to go home again because there's nothing more to do.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't going to risk that. And so we went home. And then every day was waiting for death. That's what I thought. I was like, I'm going to close my eyes and it may be the last time. So if I could talk a little, I would call my mom or my dad or whoever. I want to make amends. I want to make sure you know I love you. I would do it until I could no longer talk because my muscles would only work for a little while. And I remember one day in particular, I was sitting in my husband's lap and I was just so tired. And I told him, you know, I want to take a bath. I want to take a bath. I just want to forget this is happening. And he's like, I'll sit with you. And I said, no, papi, it's okay. You go to the kitchen, take care of the babies. I'll just sit in the bath. And I start running the bath and I start feeling so relaxed. And I'm like, Lord, please help me. Help me understand what is going on. I don't understand why. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And as the water was rising, my whole body started shutting down. And I tried to scream and nothing. It was like, help. And I couldn't say nothing. And the water kept rising and rising. Ma'am. When it got to my nose, I was like, that's it.
Ma'am.
That's it. I'm gone. And I started sleeping. Because I couldn't do any of it.
Oh,
everything was gone.
God.
And so I just closed my eyes and the water kept going up. And then my husband, I don't know how, he walks in, opens a curtain, like literally takes me out naked, places me on the bed, and I just start bawling. I just start bawling, like paralyzing, going, that's all I could do. And I just start crying. And I'm like, I'm useless. I'm a head in a bed. Like, once I finally regain the ability to talk, I'm like, what am I good for now? You know, for all my life, I have put my value on what I could do. I could cook. I could be a mom. I'm a singer. I'm a writer. These are the things I could do. And when I couldn't even pick up a pen, I couldn't even get out of bed, I couldn't even save myself from drowning, I thought, what's the point? What's the point of existing like this? And that's when my husband looks at me and he goes, baby, if you can't talk, I'll learn to read your lips. If you can't get out of bed, it's okay. I'll bring things to you. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. And he never, ever saw me as broken as I felt. And he never saw me as less. And then I kept asking why. And he left to get me some tea. And I just kept asking why, Lord. And I'm just staring at the ceiling because that's all I could do was just stare at the ceiling because that's the only position my body could be in that we weren't risking me, like, choking on myself. And then I noticed I was asking the wrong question. And I needed to ask, what can I learn from this experience? What is it that I don't understand that you need me to go through this? And if this cup will ever pass, please know that I'm going to take action on whatever it is. And so I stopped feeling sorry for myself and I started to embrace what I could do. I could sit and I could listen. I could listen to my kids tell me about their day. I could listen to them tell me about the boyfriend that broke their heart. I can sit there while they were making food and watch my kids help each other. And what I learned is humility. That's what I learned. I needed to be humble because I was too proud to even ask for help. Mm. And when I couldn't ask for help, the Lord sent the angels anyway. Mm. I had knocks on my door. They're like, we bring a meal. Ladies from church telling me, we'll take your kids for play date. They would come and clean my house. And you know how it is when you don't want to invite nobody to your house when it's dirty. Uh-huh. You know, you don't want anybody to see your mess. You don't want them. Mm-hmm. And yet I had to accept that help of, like, they're going to wash my clothes and they're going to pick the dishes and they're going to clean them.
And so you're just there paralyzed. Don't do that. Get out. Don't touch my chonies.
Exactamente. I'm like, this is like the most vulnerable thing I can be like, and I can do nothing but say thank you. Wow. And so the Lord needed to teach me that I had to accept help and I had to accept the fact that I couldn't do these things. And then my kids, they can cook. I didn't know that.
Turns out,
what?
Oh, you could serve yourself? Wow.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know, like, I had to be in this position for you to actually wash your dish. They did. They could cook for one another and they started helping each other. I'm not saying it was easy because, like, my kids had to go to therapy. Like, it was hard. Like, my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter now, at that time, she was like 12, 13. She had to see me go through that. And the kids, my little Mimi, the little one that's 6 years old now, she at one point started calling her, you know, Keke Mami, like, because we call her for Kel Keke. And she's like, Keke Mami, because she would serve her like mommy. Mm. And she's like, I don't want to be a mommy. I'm 13, you know? And she had to go through those moments. But it also brought me closer to God because I understood, oh, you don't love me because I'm a singer or because I can be a good wife or whatever. You love me because you love me. Mm. And so my relationship with God became so much deeper because I understood that he loves us regardless of anything else, regardless of our abilities, regardless of the things that we think give us value, our position, our economy, our beauty. When all that is gone, he still loves us. He'll take us like we are. And so one day when I was still trying to get my bearings and we were trying to find out what works, what is making me more paralyzed, we stopped. I stopped. I went vegan. I was like, I'm going to start from scratch. I started fasting and seeing what it is that will work, what didn't. Like, no meat. Okay, I'm going to do no meat, no bread, no, nah. I was drinking shakes to just survive. Like, that's it. And one of those days when I was just sitting down and my husband was playing with my hair.
Could you chew food?
I could chew, but I couldn't, like, whenever I swallowed the food, it's like my body was shut down. Like, it wouldn't process food.
Wow.
So then I would throw up.
No.
Because my body was like, no, we're not having it.
Oh my God.
And so the only things I could drink was shakes. That's what I could keep down. Because I would even be like, I would hold my mouth and like, and then it was like, nope.
Wow.
Just the body was like, no. And one of those days we were sitting in his studio and he was playing with my hair. And then we get a phone call. Congratulations. You got the part.
I forgot about this whole part. I forgot there was even an audition in this story. The audition of your life, your dream role. Completely yes. Forgot about it because I'm in the trenches with you right now.
Thank you. Thank you. And so my husband, he looks at me and I can hear it because the voice was right there. She was so excited. He puts his hand over the phone and he's like, you got to tell him you can't take it. Like, we don't even know if you're going to be alive next week. Like, we were going week by week, hour by hour. And I whispered, you call him if I'm dead. I'm taking this. And he's like, well, get it together, mommy, because I don't know what we're going to do. And then she's like, hello. And so he starts negotiating the contract. Oh, great. No, we're so excited. It's great. So is she going to have to go to LA to record? No, COVID restrictions. You guys have a studio, right? Yeah. You guys can do it from your studio. Great. And so he's negotiating
loving
all the
this
details.
So far.
My husband's great. He's awesome. And he's like, giving me all the signals, like, good. I'm over here taking breaths, like I'm about to have a baby. Like, okay, I'm getting ready. And then he hands me the phone, and we have not practiced this because obviously I never know when I'm going to be able to talk or not. This is unpredictable. My body's unpredictable. I take the deepest breath I have in my life. I'm like, thank you so much. When do I start? And I almost faint. And she's like, about 3 weeks. And so for 3 weeks, it was like training, like Rocky. But like slow motion. I was like, I'm going to make it from here to the door and not pass out.
Oh my God.
Give me a glass of water, puppy. Like that. It was training. And so we would train every day. I was like, I'm going to walk and talk and chew. And I'm going to walk and talk and chew and sing. And I'm going to walk and talk. And like that is how we trained. And it was miraculous. 3 weeks later, I was Jared Bush and Byron Howard, and we were recording the lines for Dolores Madrigal.
Were you 100% or were you still, like, did you ever tell them what you were dealing with? Like,
so what happened was, I was feeling so much better. But there was a term of time that I could be okay. And we had measured it. It was 30 minutes before things started getting wonky. So I could handle it for 30 minutes. And the problem is that you are Latina. Tú eres activa. I'm activa. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't. If I had too much emotional strain, I would start losing the ability to speak well.
COVID
so then
stole
I knew,
your spiciness?
I know. So I had to be very calm and collected.
Oh my God.
So then I started doing, but anytime I get excited, that's when it would happen. And I'm like, oh, you know.
You're like, oh yeah.
Literally. I would have to be like, back to it. Like, I know I look psycho probably. So my husband, he would be looking at me through the glass when he saw that I was like,
wait, where are you
doing it? I'm doing it in our studio.
Oh, in your
own
studio.
So we have our Zooms with all the people looking at me.
Okay.
He's controlling it from the outbox.
Okay.
Right here, but he can see me. And so when I would give him like a sign, like, he would know. Oh, he would turn off the camera. He'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. We lost the feed real quick. And I would just like breathe or like hit the floor, like drink water. And I'd be shaking and I'd like, and then he'd be like, oh, okay, we got the connection back on when he knew I was okay. And so I literally, in one of the sessions that I recorded, a blood vessel popped in my eye because I was just going so hard at it. I was so into the zone. So I just like covered up my curls, like, you know, I was trying to be all posh and cute, but like, like my eye had gone. And so by that time I was like, okay, great. Yeah. So we'll see you in the next session. Bye.
Oh my God.
So that's how I recorded for this whole thing. And I didn't have I have 4.5 octaves of vocal range. When it came time to working with Lin-Manuel, I only had one. And I really didn't even have a full octave. I just had the range that it was. Grew to live in fear of Bruno stuttering and stumbling. I can always hear him. That's it. I could just be there. That's all where I lived.
And but that's all they needed from you?
Thank goodness.
Right.
At that moment. So I was so grateful when I went with Lin-Manuel and I finally met with him. He is just like, he makes you feel like besties when you meet him. He's just so nice and warm. And so when I started listening to what he wanted for the part, I was like, great, because I had heard his demo, and his demo was like himself on himself on himself. So it was Lin on Lin on Lin, all parts. And so I told him, you know, I have an idea for Dolores. And I was like, please don't fire me. Please don't fire me. This is Lin-Manuel. You don't tell him what to do. But I was like, you know, I don't hear her singing an octave higher, like, grew to live in fear, you know. So I felt like, grew to live in fear, that's where she lived, because after being with Jared and Byron, I felt like that's where her voice was. And so I was like, can I show you what I'm thinking? And he's like, sure. And I just went at it on the microphone and I closed my eyes because I was like, in case he's like, I don't want to see it, because then I would start crying. And I did it and he was like, that's great. Let's do another take. And so we just did a few takes of it, and that's what became Dolores' voice. It was a risk. And my husband was telling me, he's like, you should tell him. And I was like, well, you're not supposed to tell him anything. I don't want to lose my opportunity. And I still did it. Like, that's the thing. My husband is like my biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
He's the backbone I don't have.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So many questions. So many. But to keep the story moving along, did you ever tell them that you were dealing with anything? Or is this their first time finding out right now?
No, I did. Jamie Sparrow Roberts, after I recorded with Lin.
Okay.
I did. I was like, okay, I got to tell him. And Gabriel and I, we agreed. But, like, I already had my moment. Like, you know, even if I were to be replaced, I was like, I had my moment. I had, nobody's ever going to take that moment away from me. Like, I had it. I lived it. So we called up Jamie Sparrow Roberts. She's the casting director. Like, she should know. And so I told her, look, Jamie, I don't know if I'm going to be alive to see the premiere for this film. This is what's going on. I'm feeling a lot better. But every day is an unpredictable day. I don't know what my body's going to do. I just want you to know. And I thought she was going to be like, well, thank you so much. We're just going to replace your part. She was like, we're going to get the best doctors on it. You don't worry. I can make calls. I mean, she was like a fairy godmother to me. She and I have such a wonderful relationship. Even after past this film, she just made my dreams come true. And so, like, my 9-year-old baby self is like, thank you so much. She's amazing. Wow. And she did. She was so wonderful. And when it came time for the premiere, I couldn't get vaccinated. Because the doctor was like, we don't even know how you're functioning at all.
Yeah.
And so we had them write a letter. They sent it over to Disney. And I told them, you know, you want, it's okay if I'm not there for the premiere. It's okay. I understand.
Uh-huh.
We all have to be vaccinated. And there's a lot of protocols. And Yvette Merino went to bat for me, which was one of the producers of the film. And she's like, espérate, I'll call you back. Let me see what I can do. And she took it to the top people. And they were like, we want you to be there. And they took care of me. Girl, I was getting tested like every 5 minutes, though. I felt like it, though. My arms are like, okay, another
one. Went into the red carpet to the next. They're like, one more test.
Literally, almost every 3 to 4 hours, I was being tested. And like, because we were in front of people, you know? But even when they did the interviews, like, I was in an isolated room, but just still, they were like, we want to make sure you're okay. And so they were so careful. And then we were on that purple carpet together. I felt like I had just done like high school graduation.
Could you walk at this point?
I could, but only for a limited amount of time could I do everything. So I felt like when I hit that purple carpet, I'm like, man, I have to make it all the way over there and it's cold. And I had lost a lot of weight. And so I was like, man, I just got to smile through this. And like, if I faint, it's okay.
Wow.
It's okay.
When did it all turn around? Like, when did you feel like I'm back?
Honestly, it took me about 1.5 years to be finally where like I'm back. Because what happened is it also messed with my memory. So learning lyrics and like remembering lyrics was a little difficult for me. So I had to like retrain my brain, like where the synopsis were, like where is everything? And I had to learn how to mitigate my excitement because if I got too excited, it still would happen. And so now I can, now I'm finally good. And afterwards, once we got to the point that we were up for the Oscars for Dos Oruguitas, and then we found out we were performing, I was able to get vaccinated by then. But it took a while for my body to understand what to do. And then little by little, I started introducing like a little fish. And so then I went pescatarian for a while. And then I was like, and now I can have eggs. And then now I'm back to like eating normal meals. But for a while, it was just like one good meal, the rest were shakes.
Whoa. Yeah. My goodness. Have they learned anything more about what was happening with you and like how to like make sure that doesn't happen again? Is that even a thing?
You know, I have researched more with the people I've met because I noticed that a lot of other people were having the same issues. One of them ended up in a wheelchair for 2 years, and I met her at a Comic-Con, and she was like, I'm doing this special blood work that they're doing, and they're like cleaning my blood. And I was like, ooh, that's a great idea. So then I started taking supplements to like help with my blood production. And then another one, they were like, beef liver. Beef liver is so high. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to start doing that. And then moringa. And I started trying everything, whatever people were recommending. I was like, let's do it. Anything natural, I'm for it. And because my parents were holistic doctors, they're like, mamita, do the colonicos. I know you've been there. Like doing the colonics and like keeping my stomach clean. Then I found this other thing called belly flush that really helped me maintain my stability of going to the bathroom. Because even that, I lost the ability to like to go to the bathroom well. Like it was just like everything in my system my just shut down. And since then, I didn't have my period. Never came back. So while we were in Colombia, I found out that I'm postmenopausal. I didn't even know that. I was like, I just thought it took a hiatus.
You skipped menopause?
I skipped it. Just went to post. They were like, oh, we need to give you supplements now for your bones because those are going down. I was like, when was the first thing happened? I don't even know.
Wow. So yeah,
my whole body went through this shock and went into another stage.
My goodness. This is insane. I don't know anybody who's, I have friends who are dealing with long COVID stuff and, but nothing like what you've described. Like that is so scary. I think the fact that it's so like unknown too is like the scary part. Yeah. There's something to, there's this scary disease that we all know of that is very scary. And even when you know the right steps to take for it, it's still scary. But then add on to a scary disease. Also, we don't know anything about what's happening with you. There's now the fear of like death and the disease, but also your lack of control. Because there's like a false sense of control when you know what medicines to take. And this hopefully will work for you. It works for some people. It doesn't work for all people. But at least there's like a roadmap.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with something that doesn't even have a roadmap.
Nothing.
You're just like out in the abyss. Like
anything can, you know, so and I was told since I was little that I probably wouldn't have kids. That was the other thing. What? So like my whole body has been a phenomenon because I was told I had like 5% chance. One thing that I told my husband very early on in our relationship, I'm like, I don't think I'll ever have kids. I don't think that's going to be in the cards for me. I have PCOS and I had polyps removed you know, as a kid. And that's how they told me. And so, and then we go on to have 6 kids, you know. So I don't know. For me, what I notice is if I listen to my body, then it kind of guides me. And then my husband, whenever he was like, look, let's try some garlic and honey. And, you know, like we tried the weirdest things.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, garlic and honey. Let's kill the parasites while we're at it. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Like we were just trying things. And the biggest thing was even during this whole casting process, they even told me, hey, we're casting children. And do you have any kids around the ages of? I'm like, which age group would you like? I don't know. Are we looking 4 years old? Are we looking older? Teens?
Let me show you my catalog.
Is there anything here that you would like? We have this one. It's in short supply. And so my daughter auditioned at 8 years old for the film. And so she's in the film as well.
No way.
She's one of the town kids. And then she started her own like voiceover career.
Let's
like,
go, queen.
I know. I was like, baby. She was living my dream. I was like, oh, she lived it. She lived it. She was such a boss girl. Because cool. I'm a people pleaser, and she's more like, oh my goodness, I love your cat, it's so beautiful, so what lines am I gonna do? Oh no, let me do that again, I didn't like that take, let's do it again. I'm like, who are you right now? I love you.
Oh, I love this. What an incredible story, your journey. And I'm guessing that's all in your book, Love Keeps Showing Up. Is that your husband?
That is my husband, yeah, Gabriel Candiani.
Love Keeps Showing Up. Love. I imagine that's...
And the people that show up. And I talk about...
And your angels throughout your journey. Oh, my goodness.
So many angels. Wow. And I have pictures there with Yvette Merino. I with Lin-Manuel. He was so sweet. You know, he was like, yeah, of course, man. I'll sign off on that. And but the biggest thing is that I didn't want to ever share my testimony about how gracious God is, because I was always so scared of stepping on people's toes, of like offending anybody because of what I believe, you know? And of like being afraid of being blacklisted because they think that I'm like, I'm not a persecutor of people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. Like, if you don't believe in Jesus, I'm not going to talk to you. And I was so scared. But let me tell you, there's nothing like coming to the brink of death for you to know who saved your life. And so in the book, I talk about how I just didn't feel like I am the perfect poster child of somebody who has been a great Christian. Because in the beginning of my career, I wanted to win. I came into a competitive industry and I was like, I want to win. So what do you do when you want to win? You study the competition and you're like, what is she doing? What are they doing? Well, I want to match them or beat them. And so I pushed my music, I pushed my sexy, I pushed my lyrics until I got to a point where I was like, I'm about to cross a line that I'm not going to be happy with. Because what is success truly? If you cannot sit back and feel like I want my mom and my dad to sit here and watch what I just did. If you're embarrassed by it, then is that really success? You may have money, but then that's where vices come in, because you're like, oh, I want to forget I did that for that money that I'm driving right now. You know what I mean? And so I decided that I was going to focus my life on doing the most positive and the most good that I possibly could, but that I needed to admit the skeletons in my closet. And that's what I wrote the book for. Because like, yeah, I tried to suicide when I was a kid. I wanted to end my life. And I talk about that experience because it came up when the book was done. And I had a talk with my 16-year-old. She was really battling depression and just feeling the pressures of Instagram and just seeing everybody's perfect life and people doing, succeeding. And she's like, what's going to happen with me? And, you know, and I had to tell her, you know, I felt that in a moment in my life. I was dating a person that was very aggressive. And then I wanted to end it all. And I was so mad when I woke up the next day, because I was like, I can't even do that right. After I downed a whole bottle of Tylenol and wrote letters to my family. And I was like, it's not your fault. It's me. You know, just don't blame yourselves. And I listened to End of the Road by Boys to Men. Although we've come to the end. Oh, yeah. I went down with Boys to Men. And then I woke up the next day and I was like, oh, yeah, man. I can't even do that right. That's how I felt. I was like, I can't even do that right.
I'm awake.
Darn it. I did. And then I look back now and I'm going, that was my cliffhanger moment. The moment where you're like, what's going to happen to the hero? I got to turn that page. And I told her, don't quit when you're at your cliffhanger moment. And so I admit, yes, I did that, but I survived it. I'm here to tell you, when you're in that moment, when you're in the trenches and you're like, I'm done, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm done with life, this is when the hero rises, like a phoenix from the ashes. And so I put that in the book. I talk about, yeah, my husband and I, we have a loving relationship. He's the man of my dreams. We've been married almost 29 years.
Wow.
But I had my first baby at 18. Uh-huh. So we started very early on and we started backwards. Yeah. And I admit to that, because a lot of people are like, wait, let me do the math real quick.
Doing the math, you're right.
Exactly. And so you can start backwards. There is grace and it feels in. And I cannot admit who saved my life. And so I'm grateful that I was part of a project in Canto. I'm grateful that it brought my family together. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause now we talk about Bruno in our house.
Yeah.
We talk about those skeletons. And so it changed our lives.
Through this incredible story, I'm going to go ahead and guess that your mattitude is long COVID.
That's a big mattitude.
But reading between the lines, I hear your gratitude. But if you would like to just state some gratitudes from your life, I would love to just hear, like, what are some of the things that you think of when you feel gratitude? I'm grateful for this.
Well, my mattitude, I will say that I thought about my mattitudes.
Okay, let's hear it.
My first mattitude, because there's a list, is that I wish I was the mother that I am now with my first kid back then. I learned so much more about motherhood now. And there were so many things that we were so freaking poor. My baby, there was times I had to drop her off at the midnight daycare and pick her up at 4 a.m. after coming out from a club. And it was hard on her. She lived the career in which we were just in the trenches. We were digging. We were trying to survive. And we wanted to do music so bad. And so she didn't live the plenty years. She lived those vacas flacas, you know, the skinny cow years. And so I wish I could have been the mother to her that I am now. So that's a matitude. You can't take that back. I can move forward, but you can't undo the past. Another matitude is time. I wish there were more hours in the day. And so I try to prioritize my day to do as much as I can. And at the end of the night, I say, Lord, is there something else I could have done? And if I could have, can I please put that at the top of the list tomorrow? So I'm grateful to have a tomorrow. I'm grateful that I can move my legs. Still to the day I wake up and I go, I can move my fingers. I can move my toes. Thank you. All right. Now, what would you have me do? And then I start the day. And so I do homeschool the kids. So like before I came here, I made sure I did my albondigas, did the homeschooling with the kids. I did my session work in the morning. I always wake up and I read my scriptures. So I'm just grateful for life. I'm not looking forward to anything but being able to be of good in the world. That's it.
Tengo una pregunta. When you Dímelo. Say, I'm mad that I'm not, I wasn't the mom back then that I am today for her. Thinking of your daughter. Now, I don't know your daughter. I don't know how she operates today. Do you think she feels, I wish my mom was this version?
Oh, yeah. I was growing We've up. Had those conversations. Yeah. I think that when you grow up from immigrant parents, and I'm not trying to make this an excuse, it's just a fact, is that you grow up saying there is no time for tears. We fail, you get up. It's how fast can you get up, because we got to move.
The train
is leaving without us. You got to chase it.
Yeah.
And so I never was one to sit down and just cry with her. And that hurt her a lot because she was a woman that needed that side of me. And I'm so sad that I couldn't break through the ice that I've broken through now. But it's taken work to understand that you need to be vulnerable with your children, because they don't just need the strong side of you. They need to see the emotional side of you. Otherwise, they think there's something wrong with them when they're emotional and they're sad and they never see you cry. You know, and I always save my tears for my husband, like only in private and very short. It's like, okay, I cried it out in the pillow. And then let's go. What are we going to do? Like, I didn't just sit in it. And so now I cry a lot more because I'm so grateful. But I wish we would have had that time before. And a lot of the things that she's, the time, the flying, the traveling and all that stuff that affected her. So I'm a lot more careful with my time now. So if I do travel, I travel twice a month and then I'm home. And if it's a third time, I'm like, well, somebody's paying flights for seven because they're all coming with me.
Wow. Where are we at, Danielle? 55. Okay. Okay. Give me, do you have any more matitudes before we move on? If you need to get something off your chest, you deserved it. Okay. Get it all out.
Oh, another matitude that women think that at 40, your life is over and the best years have already passed. That I have learned is not true, because I had that Disney dream since I was 9 years old. I thought that was a dream on the shelf that I could just look at and that was it. And just dust it off once in a while. Oh, that was pretty. But it actually happened, and I was 42 when it happened. And so some of the most incredible life-changing events, not just for me emotionally and as a woman, but even in my career, came after 40. And it's because I don't care. And I think I cared so much when I was younger. So when you get to your 40s, you're like, look, time is of the essence. So yo no tengo tiempo to be nice about my way of doing things, and I'm going to try everything because I'm out of time. And so because I feel like I'm in an overtime session of my life, like, I feel like I should, my game was done, and then he gave me overtime. I'm like, I'm in my overtime game. I'm not going to apologize for being me, because I was very much a person that I'm the kind that I get, maybe you shouldn't do that. And like, nobody listens to me. I'm a very much bulldozered over, and now I just stand up a little bit more. I say a little bit more. I'm still working on it. Okay. I just stand up for myself a lot more than I used to. So 40 is the new now.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Give me a couple gratitudes before we wrap it up.
I'm grateful that we can be in a world where we're allowed as women to be able to have careers and to be able to show our kids that you can have a career and have a family life. Yeah. I'm so grateful for that. Yeah. I'm grateful to have a husband that supports me. I'm grateful that I have a family that loves me. I'm grateful that I have my hands, my toes, that I can feel them. I'm grateful every day for that.
The things we take for granted.
I'm grateful that I can sing again.
Yes.
Because there was times that I couldn't. I'm so grateful to have Jesus, and I'm so grateful to have the hope of having faith in my life. Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't have that something. So if you don't believe in God, I'm saying believe in something. You need some other power that can help you out the water when you feel like you're drowning.
Yeah. Wow. I'll be honest, this is not where I thought this conversation was going to go today. But I'm grateful for this conversation and you sharing your journey and that story. I'm so amazed and in awe. And then, like, I have a feeling like it's, I don't know if it's anger or something, but like I'm to think like you had this dream since you were nine and you get this audition and you book it and you get this rare illness that nobody knows what it is. And I'm like, so angry for you. I'm like, that is messed up. Like, I don't know. Like, I have so many emotions feeling your story and hearing and then grateful with you, like grateful for whatever you learned through this about humility and what you got to learn watching your children and what your children stepped into because of like everything. Not that God made this happen, but God will turn it all.
Yes.
For the good. ¿Cómo se dice scripture? Everything. God will use everything for his good.
For your good. And I've seen it. I've seen it because I understood I had to go through that. Because when you're really listening to the stories, if you believe in Jesus, why did he have to go through that? Like, there was a moment in the cross that he goes like, Father, if this cup shall ever pass, you know, but not as my will, but as thy will be done. And he had to go through it. Yeah. So I think in life, we're going to have a moment in which we're going to have to go through it. And it's not that he doesn't love us. Mm. He's like, you're going to be so much stronger. Mm. Because if you see, like, our Heavenly Father, like a trainer, and we've been benching this like 50 pounds, but we're doing our 20 pound dumbbells, and we're like, we are so fit, so good. I can go to the gym and kill it in 20 minutes. And then he's like, no, now you're gonna go for 50 pound dumbbells and you're gonna have 100 on that bar. You're gonna hurt and you're gonna be like, why? Why are you doing this? It's like, because you're not gonna grow and get stronger if you don't. But I'm gonna spot you. If it gets too heavy, I got you. And that's what I didn't know that he got me. And so I was going through it, but I wasn't alone. He was just saying, you got to feel the weight because you're going to meet all these women with kids, with autism and with special needs. And you're going to be able to speak with them and tell them, I see you. And so I can meet somebody and say, I see you. I know you're going through something. If they're sick, I've met so many people that have lost family members to COVID. And we sit and we talk about it and we're like, I see you. And so I understand people to a deeper and more intimate level than I would have if it just like happened and it's great. And I'm like, oh, wow, I got this role. And it's like, no, this means so much more.
Yeah.
So just like Dolores can hear everything. I feel a lot deeper now. And I'm grateful for the experience. Instead of saying like, why? I go, okay, I understand now because I wouldn't be as strong as I am if it wasn't for that. And so every minute of my life is so deliberate and it's so... It means so much. Yeah. So I use it, I hone it, and then I move on to the next thing as fast as I can. Wow. But that's what's changed my life. And then we didn't know that We Don't Talk About Bruno was going to blow up and be like a phenomenon. And then we would go on to have a Hollywood Bowl special and then be able to sing with the Tabernacle Choir. That was another thing, to go on tour with them and just be able to sing those oruguitas in front of a stadium of 100,000 people. It's just, God's been good. But then I also go to those same places and I share my testimony of, if you're going through it, just hang in there because something is waiting. And sometimes the waiting might just be the strength that you need of like, I may not see everybody get through it, but I know that he has a plan and I need to trust him, even if I can't see it.
Well said, Queen.
Thank you.
Well said.
Oh, and there's music in the book. Because, of course, we're musicians.
So, like, QR codes. Let's go.
One of the songs, the one that opens the book is called The Writer. And it says, when life bucks hard, I'll hold on tighter. Dig my heels in because I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
I've been thrown. I've been pulled. I've hit the wire, but I don't fold. I climb up higher. The rougher the trail, the stronger the rider.
Adasa, thank you so much for coming and sitting down with us and sharing your story, and let everybody know where they can find you, how they can support you. Let everybody know.
Thank you. Well, you can find me on Adasa Official on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, ADASSA Official. And I've also put together a club called Visible Now Club. It's also on Instagram, TikTok, and all that. It's just a community for women to support each other, because sometimes we can become invisible even through our own lives, pursuing our career or being family people, that at one point you're like, well, where were my 9-year-old dreams?
Yeah.
And that's a place where we just like support each other and just reminder of like, you've got more ahead. You've lived a full life. It doesn't mean you haven't lived something special, but there's more ahead. So don't stop now.
Beautiful. Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your specials, because they keep me laughing.
My pleasure.
I watched them all.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening and watching. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.